The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Race Radio. It's your chance to have, well, your say, your opinion, your two penneth. Oh, just a quick reminder that tonight Douglas City Firework Display is on from 6:30 on Harris Promenade, sponsored by Grant Thornton, Isle of Man. There's a Best Eco Guy competition. Bring your guy to the staged area at Harris Prom by 6 o'clock. Judging takes place at 6:15. What's an eco guy? Anyway, there's parking at Shawsbrow, the Bottleneck or Chester Street. It's going to be absolutely packed, isn't it? It always is, and particularly up here on Douglas Head and Onken Head. It will be busy, busy, busy. Of course, we'll be streaming the soundtrack if you don't make it to Douglas Promenade, so you can just imagine you were there and enjoy the soundtrack. That's tonight, 6:30, Harris Promenade, Douglas City Firework Display. And David's first with us today. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I just want to come on and just thank Peter Murcott. I tried to get hold of him today. Just to say to him, it's people like him and other individuals that give us information what's happening with our government, what they're intending to do. Because as an ex-politician, a national politician, I feel it's a nightmare trying to find out what's going on and what's happening. And it's the most difficult thing is, I found the other couple of weeks ago there, was actually parking anywhere near the Parliament building. It wasn't restricted to 2 hours, Andy, and it was difficult. Right. Didn't get a ticket, so I hope the DOI are not listening. But and I use different cars now and again if they are listening. So
I'm trying to think, where's the nearest de-restricted place to Timmers?
Well, you're probably up by Derby's, the Masonic place. And I've got a bionic knee now, so I can't walk a great deal. I probably don't qualify. Well, not yet, anyway, for a disabled badge. But it is sometimes difficult. It's not the easiest place to get to. I remember donkeys years ago, there were people, and in them days, the traffic wardens weren't as active as I think they are now.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a policy on the run-up to Christmas. They are more active and probably being disparaging to the DOI, but never mind. That's the way I think. But I just wanted to put a couple of things out there when the MLC is, because Peter said something about there was 4-4 and then the president made a ruling. And I just want, maybe it'll come on again in the future, or I'll get hold of him and find out what that was happening. Because there's been a bit of a mishmash. It's definitely, and the stupid thing I really think about it is, when they're saying that, okay, we won't get rid of the vote until her term is up. Now, her term of office could be, it could be 6 months, a year, or whatever, depending what the church wants to do, and she wants to have what her career is going to be. She may not want to live in the Isle of Man all the time, but she may want to. So that's the biggest question out there. But I've not met a person yet in and around where I walk around all the time that says to me, get rid of the bishop. Nobody's actually said that to me. And the reasons, I see these things on Facebook, and it's to do with religion and whatever. Look beyond that. I think, what's his name, Crane, MLC Crane, they did the report. And if you look at that, and they looked at how much over the years, the last 10 or 12 years or whatever, did a bishop influence a decision, a political decision? And there wasn't any. I don't remember in my span for 10 years, the bishops that were there, I always thought they were great. You could talk to them as an ordinary person. They didn't put religion down your throat. They never did that at all. And they'd probably get caught out. And as I said before, the only one I didn't like was, he was a Liverpool supporter.
Okay.
And you can't change the people who support football teams, can you? Especially when I'm a blue. All right.
So, just tell me, the people you speak to there, what do they think about the fact that we... I mean, the possibility is that the bishop could go, that if the Church of England and the Archdiocese of York, if they take the view that this is lessening the position of the bishop, so we may as well not have one, and the bishop goes. What do people think to that?
Well, I think, personally, I haven't been too deep with them, because they don't get too deep into that.
Yeah.
The bishop is a position in the Isle of Man, like all religions are. There's the bishop, the Monsignor's back now from Italy, and I haven't met him yet, but he was a great guy. I always remember, and I've said it before, Andy, when I was in Parliament, he used to come over from the Catholic Church, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying that, or anybody who's in that Catholic religion there. He used to say to me, it was more excitement on the other side of the pavement, which was the Parliament building. And I remember somebody, one of the politicians, inviting them down because they have a cup of tea around about 5 o'clock and a biscuit. And before anybody says we don't have cake, we used to have them. Remember the family biscuits, the Co-op ones,
which are
fairly cheap. And I used to run down, little secret for you all, run down and try and get in there quite in the queue quite quickly, because there wasn't many chocolate biscuits, and I do like a chocolate biscuit.
Okay, all right. Thanks for that, David. Good to hear from you.
But I hope people come on, and never mind about the religious thing. Just say is, if I was that person and I was in there, and you were talking about something and whatever, but you didn't have a vote, what's the sense of you being there?
Okay.
You know, I can understand the church saying, well, like the in the UK, they're in the Houses of Parliament, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
So they make decisions. There's loads of them there. So what's the problem having one in the Isle of Man? I don't think there's any.
Okay.
All right.
Good to hear from you. Thank you. 13 minutes past 12. Any thoughts on this? It's just going on and on and on, isn't it? The situation with the bishop on the Isle of Man. And before we get wrapped up in religion, the fact is the bishop's always been there. I mean, as long as I've been alive, as long as you've been alive, I mean, there's been a bishop in Tynwald. The bishop has always been there. And the fact is now it could go. No, the bishop could go, because if... this is okay. Now, I'll run through the detail with you in a few moments' time. But if the Church of England over there decides, well, the bishop's not going to vote, not really worth it. So let's, I mean, it could be a money saving thing. They could just say, well, we won't have a bishop in the Isle of Man. The bishop, the Soda and Man diocese, will go. And that's that. And that tradition. And again, put aside any religious feelings you may or may not have, that's a tradition. And we do tend to value traditions on the Isle of Man. I mean, surely the Bishop of Soda and Man is not a malevolent character, not a divisive character, really? Or what do you think? Because, as Paul Crane said, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And if we no longer have a bishop of Soda and Man, it'll be a bit too late then to say, wasn't it a shame? Here's Jerry with us now. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, my darling boy. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, thanks. I'm fine, thanks. It's that time of year, isn't it, Jerry?
It is. I would like to tell your listeners to be a bit more mindful tonight when they lighten their bonfires regarding hedgehogs and small animals hiding underneath. If they could check before they put the match to the kindling.
How do you check to see whether there's a hedgehog there?
Right. Well, you get a long pole or whatever, and you just see, you know, if it, just go underneath and see if anything rustles.
Right.
And if they might just come out, because they hide now.
Are there many hedgehogs around this time of year?
Well, I had one in my garden two nights ago, and my dog enjoyed taking it around the garden for a walk in its mouth.
Oh, right, okay.
But he was fine. I went back to check on him, and he was fine, because I've got a hedgehog house in the garden, and everything was okay. But, so there are some around, and they're juniors. They're not big, you know, they're not senior hedgehogs at the minute. They're babies and juniors at the moment as
right.
well.
Okay. Okay,
so it's just be a little bit more mindful, just, you know, if they can do that. I know it's going to be raining or whatever, but if they could be a little bit more mindful.
Oh, it's the Isle of Man. There'll probably be a window of a couple of hours when it doesn't rain tonight for that. So I'm
Please God, I've got web feet.
So I'm guessing, I mean, if you've got a garden and it's fairly big, if you normally get hedgehogs or if you've seen hedgehogs, yes, that's the time to do it, isn't it? Just to make sure that there aren't any hedgehogs
hibernating.
Good.
Yes, Danny, okay. That would be amazing. Thank you so very, very much.
Not at all.
Thank you. Have
Not
a lovely day.
You too as well. Let's hope Tiggy Winkle survives tonight. And let's get to Patrick with us now. Hi, Patrick.
Hello. I'm very surprised the dental service, if you might ask, if you don't re-register, you lose your spot. Well, it's strange how a woman who's like 80-odd years old didn't re-register, and she had a bill of £1,000.
A bill?
I can't mention names or nothing, but to me, it's disgraceful. Anybody over 65 should be automatically re-registered at a dental appointment, you know, or reminded of the
Hang on a minute, Pat. A bill for £1,000?
Yeah, front tooth completely gone.
Right.
So to me, it's very sad that people of a certain age shouldn't have to have a reminder, shouldn't have to re-register every 2 years or whatever it is. Surely the system could be changed where automatic registration for someone over 65.
Well, that's not good at all, Patrick.
No, to me, it's like, imagine someone had mental problems and they were only 45, 50, and they didn't re-register. Certain people can afford to pay, I can afford to pay, but anybody who's not well off, if they had they had smashed their teeth or something, or had a fall,
Okay.
It's absolutely ridiculous, really.
All right. Patrick, we appreciate you bringing that up. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, I am.
19 minutes past 12. So that's the word. If you have an NHS place with a dentist and you need to keep it, if you want to keep it, you need to keep it. You need to make sure that you're registered. Otherwise, people are routinely struck off and rent asunder by it all. Tony C on 867. As I drive around the Isle of Man, I've noticed that the plantations are being harvested. And they've got warning signs from a company called Euroforest with a UK phone number. Does anybody know who they are and why there isn't a local company doing this? Tony C. Euroforest with a UK phone number. If you're anywhere near one and it's safe to do so, just would you take a photo and WhatsApp that to me on 166177. Why would the Bishop's post disappear if they lose the vote? They're employed here to lead the traditional religious stuff. And for those who are interested in religion, says Sue, they're not employed as a political figure. Why would the post change at all just because they can't vote but are still in Tynwald? Nobody suggested removing the bishop altogether. They can still do things they're employed to do, like the Tynwald service and other religious requirements. This isn't even about religion, it's about politics. All the hysteria about cancelling the national anthem and Christmas is puzzling, says Sue. I would rather have the bishop in Tynwald with a vote than some of the non-publicly elected ones, says Andrea. Well, they voted yesterday. How about getting rid of the bishop altogether? And then what? What would happen? That's 762, if we get rid of the bishop altogether. The church threatening to remove the bishop from the Isle of Man, I think, is ridiculous blackmail, says Ian, and goes to show how power mad the church is and what their congregation means to them. I wasn't bothered about the bishop till now, but after the threats, I'm made up that we're getting rid of the bishop in Tynwald. Well, it depends what you call a threat, doesn't it? I think what they said was that, remember, the bishop is, you know, the gig, the job was to come, be bishop here and go into Legco and have a vote. and the rug's been pulled from underneath them. So, if you like, that contract has been changed mid-contract. They never knew it was going to happen. And I don't remember that being in anybody's manifesto at the last general election. Nobody stood on a ticket of get rid of the bishop's vote in Legco. So, new readers start here. When a bill's brought forward, it goes through the House of Keys. Once they've finished debating it, it goes to Legco, Legislative Council. Once it gets to Legco, members have got to agree what's called the principal stage, the first proper chat about what the bill's about. If they back it, it moves to the clauses stage, when they go through the fine detail line by line. That's the stage we were at yesterday with this particular bill. It's about whether the bishop should keep the right to vote in Tynwald and Legco. So the bishop can vote in both, but this bill would change that. The bishop would still be in the chamber and still be able to speak, just in an advisory capacity, not a voting one. Well, Gary Cluett, MLC, tried to tweak things a bit. He suggested letting the current bishop keep her vote until her term ends, the thinking being she took the job on with certain powers, so maybe it's only fair that she finishes it that way. That didn't pass. The amendment was voted down. Gary Cluett has already said he plans to have another go when the bill hits the final stage next week. Next time around, he'll need a two-thirds majority instead of a simple one, so it'll be much tougher to get it through. If he does manage it, the bill will have to go back to Keys for them to look at it again. But if it fails and the bill goes through as it is now, that will be the end of it. That will be the end of the bishop's vote altogether. A big constitutional change for the Isle of Man. If you're not a political anorak, you may not appreciate that that is. I mean, it's changing the constitution. And the bishop, as I said, didn't sign up for that when she came. And that was never, ever in anybody's manifesto. Interestingly, the bishop herself isn't pushing for any delay. Her view is, if you're going to do it, just get on with it. Crunch time? Well, it's the final stage before it goes off royal assent. So whichever way it falls, that will be the end of a very, very long debate, which has taken up an immense amount of political time and money, as far as that's concerned. So, and the man behind all this, the man who started it, one of the Ramsey MHKs, Laurie Hooper. Laurie Hooper. It's going to be a week until Legco members will vote on the third reading of the bill that could take away the bishop's vote. Standing orders weren't suspended to enable the final third reading to be taken yesterday, and an amendment to suspend that any action was it failed, the Gary Cluett thing. Now, the person who moved the private members bill, Laurie Hooper, MHK, says he now understands why the church would like to retain the vote.
I don't think it's as big a change as it looks on the surface of things, but actually kind of the reason we're elected in the first place is to do something that quite literally only 33 people on the island can do, and that's change the law. And so when you've got a mandate to do something, when you've got people saying this is the right way forward, when you consult with the public and it's supported, actually you kind of have an obligation to do these things. And whatever it is we're talking about, you know, whether it's changing the way the Tynwald functions, whether it's the way we fix our roads, whatever it may be, actually that's kind of the job.
Do you think the bishop is going to go?
I don't think so, and I understand why you'd make that position clear. I think if you were the church, obviously it's in their interest to retain a vote around the table, but actually the reality is the bishop means a lot more to the island, and that came through quite clearly from the consultation response, and even the committee report actually came through very clearly. There's lots of other benefits in having that role, and having that role sat around the table in Legislative Council. So I think if there was any big movement off the back of this, I think that would be quite a retrograde step. But ultimately, as I've tried to maintain from the outset here, Parliament is for Parliament and the church is for the church, and actually I don't think it's right for someone in my position to be telling the church how to organise their affairs. That really shouldn't be up to me. It should be up to the congregations of that church, it should be up to the structures and the people that actually are a part of that body to make those decisions.
There's no cause for a plan B, perhaps, as what happens if perhaps we have our own bishop in our own Isle of Man.
It's interesting because the bill that I've brought forward actually reconfirms in statute that the bishop has a seat around the table. And so actually it puts that again in Manx law. And so if there was going to be anything to happen to change that situation, I think we'd have to change the law again to say, actually, no, we don't want the bishop around the table anymore, or even we don't want a bishop at all. It'd be interesting now to see if someone tries to take that away. Well, actually, do you need to go back through the legislative process again and have another piece of primary legislation to remove the bishop completely? The answer is quite possibly.
004 texted in to say, I'm not overly religious, but I hope Mr. Hooper can live with himself if he gets the bishop sacked for doing nothing at all. Well, the bishop isn't getting sacked. They're just taking away a part of her job, a part that she actually joined with and that's been taken from underneath her. Mr. Hooper should concentrate on what he should be doing in the House of Keys rather than some vendetta against the bishop. I can't think of anything positive that Mr. Hooper's done, says 828. Well, he did top the poll. Let's face it, he had a very big public mandate in Ramsey. Laurie Hooper, of course, you know, MHK, previously a commissioner, so he knows of what he speaks. Mr. Hooper does talk to an awful lot of people, and he did top the poll, so he does have a public mandate. But nobody ever suggested this at the last election, did they? Oh, Julian's with us now. Hello, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Just following on with the bishop's note, have it ever been made clear as to exactly why this is being asked to happen, to remove the vote?
Why?
Yeah, why is... What is the reason for this move?
Oh, well, it was
No,
it was a private member's bill. Mr. Hooper introduced this this bill, and it got taken up by the Keys as to what should happen.
Yeah, but what I'm curious is it about the religion, or is it about the fact that the bishop is not elected?
And I don't know, as I say, if you're a political anorak or an expert, you can read between the lines. At the moment, this is all getting conflated into kind of, are you for religion or are you against religion? And the fact is, nobody saw this coming, Julian. Nobody, you know, if before the last election you'd have said that this was going to take up so much time and effort, people would have had a good giggle. But here we are on the cusp of changing the constitution and getting rid of something that's been there for umpteen hundred years.
See, yesterday's show, several people were saying that it's because the bishop isn't elected. So if that's the case, the bishop sits on the MLC side, so if we take, say, Gary Cluett, who's an MLC, or Paul Crane, or Rob Mercer, or any of the other MLCs, none of them are elected either. They're appointed by MHKs, which in itself is a little bit strange, because my understanding was that MLCs were supposed to be the checks and balances for the MHKs. So surely they should be elected completely separately by the public, because otherwise, if the MHKs want to get stuff through and they don't want an obstacle, what better way than to appoint your own MLCs then, isn't it?
Well, so I mean, that's been a moot point for a long time, whether or not we should have island-wide MLCs actually elected, and then you get constituency MHKs and then island-wide MLCs. That's been mooted many times. It always gets kicked into the long grass. They have it in Jersey, of course. They have senators and deputies in Jersey, local deputies and island-wide senators, but it's never really taken off here. So we are where we are. The public elects the MHKs and the MHKs elect the MLCs.
But if anybody's making the argument that the bishop hasn't been elected, that argument falls on its face, because then you could say, well, OK, well, we'll apply that to all the MLCs because none of them have been elected.
So where do we
go? So
where do we go from here?
Well, I think it needs to be made clear. What is this about? Is this some kind of levelling of the fact that we don't want religion on the island being shown in politics for some reason? If that's the case, be clear about it. Is it to do with the fact that there are a lot more people coming into the island with different religions and that number's growing rapidly? Is it something to do with that? I'd just like to know exactly. you know, we got to the point where we spent a ton of time and taxpayer money on debating this, and we still don't know really why. It's not really been made clear.
And that's the other thing, that, you know, the government is supposed to do things that make life better. And, you know, to basically improve the life of the constituents. So in what way is doing this making the island better? What palpable upside is there to the bishop not having a vote? I mean, does it make people feel better? Certainly doesn't put money in people's pockets. Doesn't bring any jobs. It doesn't improve the promenade. It doesn't make the Liverpool landing stage cheaper. And it doesn't improve the gardens at the airport. So what does it do?
And the other thing is, you've got a limited number of people within Tynwald who are, seem to be making this decision. But if, like I said yesterday, if you look at the number of people on the island in the last census who are agnostic or atheist as against active Christian, you could say, well, there's 11,000 more people who say they're Christian. That's like half the population of Douglas extra on the island that are saying that they are Christian. So you've got 46,000 people on this island saying they're Christian. So why is just a few people in Tynwald making this decision, and they can't even express why? I mean, is it the religious side or is it the unelected side? Whichever way it goes, it would be nice to know what it is, and then we can have a proper conversation about it.
As you say, some of it appears to be political navel gazing and you know, splitting hairs. As you say, what is this actually? When all the other problems that we've got to be doing this, it seems. Well, I got a note in from Alex who just said this is a political sideshow that's become the main event.
Yeah. And this sort of the whole system, I mean, you have the DOI minister basically rolling out 20-mile-an-hour zones around the whole island, who got a relatively small vote in the south of the island. And yet they seem to be taking, I mean, you know, Rob Callister made some very good points a few months ago about how the original intention of the mover for the 20-mile-an-hour zone never intended any of this to happen. Yet you've got a tiny minority vote of the island in one constituency that is forcing this on everyone. So you've got all these imbalances going on. So, you know, there's all kinds of other things that could be looked at as to say, well, you know, the system needs a bit of, we need to be clear about what we're saying here, who's doing what.
Yeah.
This, you know what I mean? It's this fuzziness going on at the moment.
But also, I mean, it's worth considering, Julian, the fact that we are having this conversation and there's a debate about it, and it's all almost conflating into, you know, are you religious or aren't you religious, or the value of religion. Surely this points out to the fact that the Church of England, the Protestant Church, is lacking a bit in impetus. You know, it doesn't, you know, if it were so relevant, people would be up in arms about this. We're having a chat about it because it's political. But, you know, surely if the church was more relevant, if more people went to church, and they don't, you know, congregations are falling. Well, apart from the giant Roman Catholic one in Douglas, congregations are falling. So is this the church's fault? You know, if they'd paid a bit more attention and been a bit more relevant, perhaps this could have been headed off at the pass.
I don't know. I mean, you know, whenever I see, if you're out and about on a Sunday, there's a lot of people go to church still, as far as I can see. And, you know, if people are truly, you know, atheist or whatever, then they shouldn't expect a funeral in a church then, or they shouldn't expect a church wedding. You know what I mean? There's that angle of it as well. I mean, you know, some of those funerals, you can barely get parked within half a mile of them sometimes.
By the same token, how many former churches have turned into dwellings now around the Isle of Man? You drive everywhere and there's a church that used to be a church that's now a house.
That's right. Maybe that, I mean, if there's 46,000 in the census that have said that they're Christian, maybe it's a silent majority that's just perhaps staying quiet at the moment. Maybe a few more people should come on and say, well, you know what, I'm not sure if I agree with a small number of people in government removing the vote from the bishop without any kind of clear... It's not even clear if it is about religion or if it's about being unelected.
Okay.
I mean, if it's not clear, how can we proceed with it?
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you, Julian. And it's, I think, Marlene Masker's it. Former MLC Marlene Masker. Hi, Marlene.
Oh, hi, Andy. How are you?
Very well, yes. What's on your mind? I think I know.
Yeah, and I've just got a contribution to make on the matter of the bishop.
Yeah.
A bishop being present in the Court of Tynwald. And I really, when I heard the result of the vote yesterday, I was surprised, I have to admit, and I was very saddened. I haven't worked alongside Bishop Tricia, but I did serve alongside our former Bishop Peter Eagles. And my experience was that he brought a very wise and experienced and humble view at times, because he'd had a long experience in the field of battle. He was chaplain to the British Army, archdeacon to the army. He was chaplain to the Queen for a while, but he'd served in Northern Ireland, in Kosovo, Iraq, Afghanistan. He brought a moderation to the debate sometimes, and people I know would wait to listen and hear what he had to say because he brought a different view at times. And although he was a bishop for the Church of England, I always felt he was the moral compass, the moderator of views, sometimes presented views that no one had thought of until they were raised on the floor of the court. He was our moral conscience. And part of our constitution, we're so proud of our constitution, and we harp on about, you know, the millennium, 1979, and 1,000 years of continuous parliament. The bishop, I think I've heard Paul Crane's done research on this, but the bishop has been there with a vote, I think, as part of Legislative Council and the Governor's Council for 400 years. We don't know what we're going to lose. And I was actually also surprised. I think there was an interview with Laurie Hooper when he must have heard of how the vote had gone. And I think I heard him say that he thought it would be a retrograde step to lose the bishop. So I'm really at a loss as to why this hair was set running. Sorry about that kind of comparison. But I think it's been a distraction. Lots of time and energy has gone into this matter and debate, and I think we've got much bigger matters to consider. I think we're losing our way, and matters that distract us from our central pathway and what we need to be doing for this island. I think it's a sad day and a sad mistake if we were to lose the bishop. I know that, you know, it's the Church of England that have said, oh well, you know, we might pull the role of bishop, which I think would be a very sad day. Look at our wonderful cathedral and all the work that's gone into the reordering. The Archdiocese of Liverpool has designated St Mary's in Douglas as a co-cathedral. And here we are looking at possibly losing this historic position of the bishop in our Court of Tynwald.
So do you think the presence of the bishop or the lack of the vote, how much does that take away from the presence of the bishop not having the vote?
Well, sometimes you can be right down to a fine vote, but I don't think the bishop has ever taken, in my experience, and I think from what others have said, has not really taken a mandate away from Tynwald or in his fellow colleagues in LegCo. But I think it's a voice for good, and he has always been able to speak for people who maybe have no voice or who have a quiet voice and aren't brave enough to speak out or are not heard. And I think taking a vote away from that voice, I think, is a mistake.
Okay, Marlene.
And that's my view.
We appreciate it. Thank you, former MLC Marlene Masker. Good to hear from you, Marlene. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. 20 to 1 on Manx Radio, Man in Line.
As the hot air balloon lifted off, Ellie's financial future rose too. Secure, steady and full of possibility. Thanks to Skipton Guernsey and their fixed 4.1% AER saving rate until September the 1st, 2026 on deposits of £10,000 or more. Let your money soar with confidence. Join Ellie and secure your rate today at Skipton.
For details on Skipton's savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. No withdrawals allowed until maturity. Interest paid annually and upon maturity. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
November is will writing month, and Callan Wild has teamed up with Sight Matters to make a real difference. In November, you can have your will professionally written at a reduced rate with a single will £200 plus VAT and a joint will £300 plus VAT, with £100 going directly to support the work of Sight Matters. It's a simple way to plan for the future while helping others today. Call Callan Wild on 623 195 and claim your will writing with Sight Matters.
Remember, remember, Douglas Fireworks on the 5th of November. This year's fireworks display in Douglas will be even bigger and better than ever with new sponsor Grant Thornton Isle of Man. The fun all kicks off at 6:15pm on the promenade with the best Eco Guy competition. But please ensure all guys are registered by 6pm. Then at 6:30pm, the spectacular fireworks display will light up Douglas Bay for yet another stunning show over the water. Douglas Fireworks, Wednesday, November the 5th. Sponsored by Grant Thornton Isle of Man and supported by Manx Radio.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
It's 17 minutes before one. James and Mary dropped a note in. My wife and I support retaining the bishop. This is a Christian country and the church should be represented. Rosemary said, I think all MLCs and MHKs who vote to remove the bishop's vote should not take part in Tynwald Day. Tynwald Day is both a religious and an historical occasion. It will be surely hypocritical for them to join in, wouldn't it? Alan, I'm an ex-UK MOT inspector. The reason the police are finding so many vehicle lights not working is down to the state of the Isle of Man's roads. The bumps damage the bulbs. And Kelly said the forest, the plantations are being cut down as a cash crop. I know, but the wood is being shipped and away to be chipped and burned in power stations in England. That's our government being green. And Tony's on now. Hi, Tony. No, it's Charlie. Sorry. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, boy. You brought up before about being religious. It's not a case of being religious. You can do a Christian act and help your fellow man without it being a religious nut. Now, all this time wasted and tumbled with this vote, Anne Collett, MHK, said some months ago, she's disgusted of how many bills are sitting on the shelf not being dealt with. So why are we wasting time over the bishop's vote? The cheaper way to do it would be September next year, we've got a vote for Tynwald. At the bottom, do you agree with the bishop's vote, yes or no? And let the people decide, not 32 people at Tynwald.
Oh, a referendum?
Well, it's not a referendum, just put it on the bottom. You just put it on the bottom. Do the people agree or disagree?
Right.
And you wouldn't have to waste time, hours and hours, thousands of pounds in Tynwald, when they could do their job without getting very well paid for and get the bills sorted out that we need.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned before, I mean, what difference does this do for us? Does this make us any richer? Does it do any? Does it create jobs? Does it make the Isle of Man better? So, you know, as you say, what is it there to do? What's the reason for it?
Well, since they split from the Pope centuries ago, we've been in a CEV countries, haven't we?
Yeah.
So But the Isle of Man at the moment, just driving round, we are a multinational community now. Not just two different religions, multinational. I've not got a problem with that. Integrate and get on with your life, no problem. And I'm a Manxie.
Okay, all right. Appreciate it, Charlie. Bye. Good, thanks for calling today. And, oh, blimey, we've had former MLC, former MHK, Chris Robertshaw's with us. Hi, Chris.
Oh, hi, I didn't know I was a former MLC. just MHK, former MHK. I just wanted to, in fact, follow up from your previous caller where he said, you know, this isn't really about religion, it's not. And this is the issue of the bishop. I think that's highlighted by the fact that you've even had atheists ringing in saying, no, we support where we stand now and we don't want it to change. And what it is that we've got is a combination of hundreds of years of development of Christian ethics and common law. And these two things have combined to create how we think and how we behave. And you don't have to be religious or otherwise to support that concept. And I just want to raise a point, which I don't think I've heard up to now anyway, but let's all be very, very careful about what we wish for, because what's happening in the Western democracies is that there's an ever greater effort on the part of international organizations to suppress national democracies. And one of the ways of doing this is to remove elements of the culture. So what I'm saying is that the presence of the bishop in Tynwald and their contribution is actually part of our culture. You start removing these things and you have to replace it, and that's what's happening, with ever more regulations and rules that are applied by regulators. And behind that, you get ever larger and bigger and more expensive government. And so let's be very, very cautious and careful. And let's remove this matter of, oh, it's about whether you're religious or not. It's not. It's about what is essentially our culture. And we've got to be very, very careful to protect it, Andy.
Okay, Chris, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Andy.
Okay, the bishop in Tynwald, says Ian in Birchill, seems to me it's a case of change for change's sake. It's not been a problem before, so why make the change now? Is this just an excuse for MHKs to prevaricate instead of concentrating on more important things? That's Ian in Birchill. Thank you also to Simon, who says roughly the same thing and just says, well, perhaps coping with the Isle of Man's finances is a bit too difficult for MHKs, so they're going for the easy target of the bishop's vote. We have got bigger problems than the bishop's vote, says Simon. Andrea said maybe those in favour of keeping the vote for the bishop should email their MHKs and MLCs to say so. David said, David 425 WhatsApped in just to say Mr. Hooper should be ashamed for wasting so much government time. He made a mess of it when he was in health minister. He should go. So, well, that's debatable, and that's down to the chief minister. But that's 425's version on this. Mr. Hooper said he had a mandate, really. So if the Isle of Man is no longer a diocese, is finance lost? Are the churches closed down? Says Gaz.
Sarah always admired her father's strength, but as years went by, she noticed subtle changes. His once sharp memory began to fade.
Dad, you forgot our Sunday lunch again.
With Man Benham, Sarah found a way to ensure her father's assets and dignity remained protected.
Now I know Dad's future's secure, no matter what.
Protecting tomorrow's peace of mind today. Learn more at manbenham.com or call us on 639 350.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
For over a century, the Royal British Legion has supported veterans and their families through financial, physical and mental challenges. Here on Ireland, 8 branches and hundreds of volunteers keep that mission alive. Find out more. Contact Anne on 472 742. Join us in remembrance and support our poppy appeal, helping every generation of our armed forces.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Tis the season to be jolly at the Manin Hotel. This December, celebrate with friends and family at one of our fabulous festive lunches. Three courses just £35, with mince pies and tea or coffee included. Whether a cosy catch-up for two or a larger group gathering, just get in touch and the Manin will arrange the perfect booking for you. Call 602-555 or make an inquiry at maninhotel.im. You really do get more from the Manin this Christmas.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
As the weekend fades and the night draws in, slow it down with the Chill Out Show.
The Sunday Chill Out. Chris Pearson, Manx Radio.
The Manx Radio Chill Out Show, Sunday evenings from 7.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Tony's on now. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, your favourite, our favourite subject, the Bishop. I think I don't understand where you think he got a mandate. There was no mandate. This came from the Lib Dems, who decided that this would be a good thing for Laurie Hooper to put forward. And Laurie Hooper obediently just did as he was told.
Oh, Liberal Vannin, you mean?
Oh, Liberal Vannin, whatever you want to call him. But basically, he was directed and he agreed because he is Liberal Vannin. So party politics don't really work because they just waste time.
So this was a Liberal Vannin idea, was it?
Yes, it was. If you go back, you'll find at some stage he said that. And he can come on and tell us he didn't, but he did. So my question is, why has he wasted all this time, effort and everything else to do something that has no difference to him, but has a lot of difference to people in the Isle of Man? You know, loads of people don't go to church, but are religious on the sense that they can't get to church because they're older. Somebody needs to start looking at what they... population is here. It's an older generation population, the vast majority, and that we are being just ignored by people like Laurie Hooper. He's a complete failure as a health minister, and yet he comes forward and says, I want to put this in. We've had loads of bills come forward from MHKs that they've put forward, but were never mandated by the populace. So my question is, why are they doing this? And the answer is, it's better than doing the work that they're supposed to do. And it creates lots of interest and lots of talk about how wonderful this is or how bad it is. It's not good because you are now removing a vote from somebody who's independent. Well, let me tell you, the vast majority of the MHKs are independents. They're not part of a party. So why can't you have a bishop who's got, let's say, probably a better viewpoint than a lot of these people? The MHKs don't think of anything except themselves, most of them. The bishop doesn't have that. And he can represent, let's say, he or she can represent a religious point of view that half of them don't even think about.
Okay. All right.
And I just object in principle that he rams this through and then tells everybody it's not his fault. If the bishop decides, okay, if you're not giving me the vote, I'm not here, he come on and said, oh, well, then we'd have to go back and remove the bishop. And he didn't think about that to start with? Apparently not. You know, he won't get my vote, that's for sure, this next coming election.
All right.
And I'm not the only one, I don't think. Anyway, that's just a bit of politics there. You look after yourself, Andy.
Right.
I hope you're not getting too wet, and I hope they haven't pushed you outside to save on the heating.
All right. Thanks for calling today. Jeff's with us now. Hi, Jeff.
I'm sorry, Andy. That was quite amusing, that last remark. Good afternoon, Andy. Thanks for letting me speak. First of all, as an atheist, my view on the bishop is not one of the few things I would agree with the United States is the separation of church and state. And as far as I'm concerned, religious leaders should have no part in legislation, particularly when they're not elected by the people they represent. In other words, the other members of Turnbull are elected, albeit by the Keys, but the bishop isn't. And the second point is that the previous MLC, the ex-MLC I had on, was going on about how important the bishop is and made lots of references to the previous bishop. With, in fairness, that bishop had all that experience and wisdom because of his life that he led, not because he was a bishop. Now, the present bishop will not be able to bring forward to the debate the experience of the previous bishop, so that's a bit of a red herring. And thirdly, as an atheist, the comment of a caller who said marriages in church and funerals, I'm when I die, I'm gone. My family, just because I'm an atheist, they're not. And they shouldn't be denied the help that they would get by a Christian burial in a church. And that's all I've got to say, Andy.
Okay, Jeff, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today. Well, I can guarantee one thing tomorrow. We're not going to be having phones because we're going to be live at Ramsey Grammar School with the students of Year 12 and Year 13. So we'll possibly hear what they have to say about this and anything else. So live tomorrow from Ramsey Grammar School. Next Monday, DOI. DOI is here. Michelle. Oh, by the way, after 1 o'clock, you can hear more about the Kell Properties Charity of the Week, the Royal British Legion with Christy. And it's Wednesday. Christy wants to know about your midweek Little Wins. I must say hi, hello to Little Win, by the way. She listens every day. So Michelle Haywood next Monday, tomorrow, live from Ramsey Grammar School. And if you want to contribute to Man in Line Out of Hours, the answer phone is always on. Call 682-631 or you can email maninline@manxradio.com. So back with an open line on Friday, but tomorrow live from Lozare Road, Ramsey at the Grammar School with the students. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. WINT.